The station with more hair, more flair, yet so debonair.
RadioInfluence.com.
What will you do if you're the king of an empire and you rely on the slavery of your people to keep you rich and powerful? But you see your people waking up and starting to show dissent. What would you do if you wanted to stay in power? You would sure hope that they forget about it. You would want to distract them, or even better, turn them against each other so that they forget about their original cause. The mainstream media, which we all know is in the business of maintaining the status quo, is doing a great job at doing just that. They are reducing this global transformation that's going on, this beautiful shift in human consciousness, into a petty war between each other. They will continue to create sides for us to choose from. They will keep our minds focused on skin color and uniforms. They will tell us what opinion to have about events and other people. But what they will never do is bring focus back to the message of truth and change that is trying to be born and heard through this social upheaval. Are we listening to it? Are we paying attention? Or are we falling into the trap of being divided and conquered once again? Who are underneath these uniforms? Who are those we call protesters? From up close, one may be wearing a shiny badge that supposedly grants them authority over others, while the other may be holding a sign of rebellion against this said authority. But from a higher perspective, it's all the same. We are all human beings. And the reason why change is needed is meant to uplift not only those walking the streets, but also those wearing the uniforms. So let's talk to each other, not yell at each other. Let's talk to each other, not kill one another. Let's give power to our message, not our egos. Let's remind each other of the beautiful and unifying cause behind all of this. We want a world that honors all life. We want a world that is fair for everyone. We want peace. We all want to stop surviving and start living. We want to be free.
It's time for a new philosophy, folks. One based on, yes, the principles of Jesus, which were love your brother as yourself, because you know what? He is yourself. We are literally all one.
When we finally stop fighting against each other, we will gain enough perspective to see the real issue here. Now, one might say that the issue is the king of the empire, the corporate elite that is enslaving humanity. But even that is thinking too small. What is the life force of this system? Is it the small group of people calling the shots at the top of the pyramid? Or is it the 7 billion strong army of people complying? That is us. That is humanity. We do it because we want to keep our jobs, because we want to survive. But we only have to struggle to survive if we comply with a system that keeps us in isolation and competition. If we instead unite as a people, stop complying with the current structures in place, and support one another, we can not only survive, we can thrive. If we focus on solutions and learn about ways to be self-sufficient, we will no longer need to depend on the so-called owners of this world. If we use our creativity to build a new model that can work for everyone, including the environment, the old system will no longer hold power over us, because we're the boss. We are the ones who either give it power or let it collapse. We blame society, but we are society. Let's ask ourselves, what world do we want to live in? It's our choice. But it's a choice we gotta make together.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210 story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
nervous pill. System of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy red can't pill. Function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
Doubt. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
You guys ready to do this?
Yeah, I know I am. What's going on, world?
You know, it's kind of funny when you crack a mic for a living and you do it terrestrially and you go, hey, what's going on, Tampa Bay or hey, Springfield, Mass or hey, South Florida? Yeah. When you start the idea of doing a podcast, you really come into that realm of going, oh, my God, anybody, anywhere, at any time, not only could be listening to what you're saying live, but... we'll download it later on. It's, I gotta admit, it's pretty freaking cool. I mean, I started on CB Radio, Break 19, Break Channel 13. This is Sugar Daddy. I can't understand what... I'm having a headphone issue here. 2, 3. Hello? Houston, we got a problem. All right, I think we're okay. Okay. Welcome to Dangerous Conversation right here at RadioInfluence.com. It is live, though 85% of the listeners of this program will listen to it after the fact. So I'm going to go through, I'll tell you why in a second. In the next 2 hours, I'm going to be like right in the middle of a good rant, and I'm going to go, are you kidding me? Yeah, baby! Yeah! All those emotions are going to be kind of like coming out of me in the next 2 hours. Because to my right... Now, see, normally when I do DC, I like that feng shui. And I call it movies with the sound down. And normally I just have a movie running, you know, just... It's it's kind of the way my brain operates. I'm not a neuroscientist. But I know I just can't sit in a dark room. I need stimuli. And normally, you know, a movie, and you go, oh, wow, this is where De Niro hits him with a baseball bat, or, you know. Well, tonight, living here in Tampa Bay since 1989, there's this little team called the Tampa Bay Lightning that could be headed to their third Eastern Conference final in 4 years. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the thing is, the mainstream media, they don't like us. You know, we're this transient town down here. We're this transient town down here. And everybody's from somewhere. There's a lot of locals. But, you know, Pittsburgh is a hockey town and we want them. And, you know, this is the corporate decisions made all the way at the top of the food chain at NBC or ESPN or whatever. And they're like, what will make for the best one-on-one finals? And they don't like the Lightning. They don't like the Lightning. Tampa Bay is all about, you know, tarpon are running down the Gulf of Mexico right now. You don't think tarpon in hockey
It is not considered a hockey town. By the way, Canada, do you even have a team? No, they don't. They don't even have a team in the playoffs this year. So as the popularity of hockey is kind of headed towards the equator, and more young kids take the game up, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon line, more and more people are realizing it's a great sport. It's an amazing sport to watch live. And the cronies in corporate sports television just will never give us. We got a Stanley Cup, 2004. The following year, we had a strike. Who knows? We could have repeated. I don't know. Different team now. Certainly a different coach, different system. And by the way, Coop's an amazing coach. And here we are again in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. I got a ton of audio. Jerry, just so you know, maybe 10:15, I might, might go a little late. And sometimes I got so much stuff to get to, I need to take a break to clear the pipes. And I usually throw a tune and a Carlin's Corner on. You know, I sometimes need that to relax. Other times I just need it to re-rack. I don't know what I'm doing tonight as far as how many minutes I'll do, but I still love the idea I'm live. So, you know, lightning are coming out, the crowd's going crazy. And people go, oh, you're just biased. I'm like, no, listen to the announcers. Watch the camera shots. Watch how when Pittsburgh was winning, there was an enthusiastic vibe in their voice, and then the Lightning tied it, and they were like, ooh, Pittsburgh. You can literally tell that NBC Sports wants the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup. Now, you know, as if I were just, you know, kind of glancing in from beyond and going, oh, hockey. Oh, yeah, the Penguins are in the Cup. Yeah, Mario Lemieux, Yammer Yager, man. That's cool. The storylines, that's what they're worried about. They're worried about revenue. They're worried about, you know, advertising. And Tampa Bay doesn't bring it. Just like, and I don't even follow the NBA, but isn't there a Canadian team in the NBA semis or finals now? See, that's a curse. They want the Celtics or the Lakers or, you know, they want, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees. That's what they want. And when they don't get it, they literally, they're not whining, but they are so fucking obvious it kills me. And that literally shows you, and I'll segue to mainstream media here in a sec, but and news stories, but that shows you that it's all about money, okay? You know, a team wins, more money to their city. A team makes it to the playoffs, more television revenue. But at the top of the food chain, where national sports is decided, they want names, okay? Now they've got, you know, Pittsburgh's got names. We don't have names. We got one name, and he's injured. Steve, you know, Stamkos. Superstar. But he's not even playing. And every single time, I swear, I watch a game and I go, okay, maybe it's just me. I'm biased. I'm rooting for the Lightning, okay? No, I'm not. It's obvious. And then, you know, I'll go on the Facebooks. And I'll watch people I know in media talk about how this town, this market, which is 20th in television, or actually 11th in television because it includes Sarasota, and I think it's 20th in radio because it used to be 19, and then Puerto Rico got added, so they kind of bumped us up a notch. But we're top 20 television and radio. More people are moving here every single day. There are 2.5 million people in this metro, and we still can't buy some respect because media wants what it wants. And that is what I'm learning every single time I scroll social media and go, why is a story of 90,000 gallons of oil spilled out of the Gulf of Mexico loading in the Gulf, not on my television? because they don't want you to see it. They want you talking about transgender. Oh, yeah. You know all those nuclear power plants we have? You know what happens with that nuclear waste? We gotta put it somewhere, right? We just can't let it sit around in the backyard. So we have these places called storage facilities, and guess what? One of them's been leaking for a while. Nuclear waste is leaking. Crude oil is floating in the Gulf of Mexico, and my Facebook is on fire with transgender conversation. Not that transgender conversation shouldn't take place, or gay, or straight, or bi. The more we talk about things, the less we fear them. Good. But when it comes to priorities, are you fucking kidding me? And that's where the mainstream media, and people say, yeah, they lie to you. No. They'll twist their point of view. But where the mainstream media is guilty is what they don't tell you. That's the part that most people don't get. They go, well, they lie a lot. I go, you know what? Most of what I know is because of one reporter on a side, you know, NBC station decides to do a report, and it trickles and trickles. And eventually people research it, and then other people do follow-up stories. And then you know, when you get two sources or more, you can actually say, here's where we're at when it comes to this topic, because it's been researched. Actual news organizations or actual news people have actually looked into this story, and they've actually done enough of their homework and given me some links so I can do my research. And that's what happens. That's the good part. The bad part is what they don't tell you. They don't tell you about a slick, let me see, 1 mile wide, 10 miles long, floating in the Gulf of Mexico again, killing all the wildlife. It's going to eventually get ashore, and then you know what happens to everything from shrimp and crustaceans and bird nests again and again and again. And, you know, let me ask you, are you fucking tired of it yet? Because you should be. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt your conversation about chicks with dicks taking a piss? And that's the difference. They don't just distract you. They feed you wedge issues. They're called wedge issues for a reason. Abortion is a wedge issue. Homosexuality, or, you know, LGBT, is a wedge issue. By the way, they are both connected to religion. This is what they'll give you. Oh, by the way, the amount of melanin on the surface of my skin gives me a certain skin tone. That skin tone is called race. That race is a huge wedge issue. And that's all you hear about all day long. All day long. Either that or, like, you know, what Justin Bieber's up to, or Kim Kardashian, or who got a butt implant, and all that fucking bullshit that doesn't matter. Now, it matters to a 16-year-old, and I'll cut them their slack. And when you're 25 and you're still trying to find yourself and you're not sure who you are, and you know, okay, I'm going to give you that. But when you start becoming a balanced adult and you start saying, geez, I understand why there's so many people starving, or what's up with these oil spills, or does anybody know that Fukushima has been leaking radiation for 5 fucking years into the Pacific Ocean? No. Because the new iPhone's out. Did you get the new iWatch? Did you know if you put this thing on your wrist, it'll take your pulse and measure your dick at the same time? Are you tired of it yet? Are you tired of it yet? Because you know what? It eventually trickles. See, shit rolls downhill, and eventually it finds you. it'll find you because you just lost your job because the factory just closed because 2 years ago some president signed something called the TPP, and that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Ooh, it sounds all fluffy and warm, and guess what? It just fucked 100 million people. And yeah, your job's going to Malaysia. Are you tired of it yet? The reason Dangerous Conversation exists, the reason all these other shows exist, is because people are absolutely sick and tired of being lied to. And even worse, being shut out of the truth. When Monsanto ads run on television, are you going to trust any news report about GMOs? When you know that NBC or CNN or MSNBC or Fox takes money from that corporation, do you think the filter of truth doesn't get, I don't know, a little muddy? The part that frustrates me the most is we don't have a stupid, dumb population. We have one that's not willing to risk staying in the shallow water. And I got to tell you, it happens. One by one by one, people get fed up. And they go, oh, I'm leaving my political party. And I go, ooh, his wall or her wall is now breaking. They are becoming disillusioned. When you become disillusioned, you start looking elsewhere. And when you look elsewhere, you open your mind. And when you open your mind, you allow the whole concept of knowledge to pour in. The question is, what do you seek and why do you seek it and where do you go? That's new media. New media, I'm not here to tell you what the truth is. I'm here to inspire you to seek it because it will better your life. It may be better yours, but if you were to pass truth to your son or daughter and so on and so forth, just like that opening piece I played, which was beautifully written, man, that was awesome. That's how the change takes place. I got sick and tired in about 2005 because I stumbled down a rabbit hole called, I don't know, ninth grade physics in 2004 when it came to a building collapsing into its own footprint in 6.5 seconds. And I was like, that's impossible. That is impossible. You know why? Because my little guy in the back of my brain goes, dude, you're not stupid. So the only question is, do you just want to... You know, ignorance, you know what that word is built on? Ignore. It's built on the word ignore. Ignorance comes from ignoring shit. I got tired of ignoring. I'm not stupid. I seek knowledge of things I'm curious about. I don't ever care if I have some stupid plaque on the wall that says I memorized something for 4 years and got to dress up in a robe. I prefer to seek my own knowledge, but at least I'm fed up. At least I'm trying. And it's amazing what happens on social media. Every time a cop beats the shit out of someone, you got two things going on. People calling out the abuse of power and people defending it. And the reason the people defend it is because they're unwilling to say, this matrix is fucked up. It is now starting to spiral out of control. But if I were to say that out loud, I've got to hit the reset button on my life, and I am unwilling to do that. Now, I'll cut you some slack. You got bills, you got exes, you got kids, people are sick, your life is surrounding you. I get that. And I will always allow you, if that's what you need to be, I can get why you're there. You're doing yourself a disservice but I can understand why you want to stay in your cocoon. I get it all the time from people. I swear to God. I've saved the emails. And someday, when my time is up, I don't want to out anybody. You know, I don't want to out anybody and ruin anybody's career. But you would not believe what I hear from people about, Ledge, I dig your show because you say things I can't. And then, you know, libertarians and progressives and social democrats and Republicans and liberals. Do you notice? There's two things I like. There's one thing I like, one thing I... Okay. One, lots of different viewpoints. Two, completely divided. Will not compromise because you're not in my club. You're not wearing my team uni. I'm red and you're blue. Fuck you. Divide and conquer, man. They are so good at it. That's what that opening piece was about. But just as that opening piece says, I can blame oligarchs and I can blame banking structures and I can blame mainstream media. But you know what? It's up to me. I can show you where the problem is, but I also have to do something about it. And part of doing something about it is educating yourself, then becoming motivated to care about at least, I said this, I don't know, do I say this every show or not? Become passionate about one topic. Learn it. Really learn it. Own the room during that conversation. And that's how you create the change. That's when you plant the seed of doubt in Mr. I want to stay in my cocoon. A dinner party where you just went, you know what? Did you know that extra bombs were found in the building of Oklahoma City, even though Timothy McVeigh, we were told, was the lone bomber, and there was only one bomb, and it was made of fertilizer? Well, then how did high-tech bombs end up in the building? Why did bomb squad show up to remove them? Have a good night. Thanks for coming over. Enjoy your ride home. And you just know they're like, getting on Google. Holy shit. Look at those bomb trucks rolling up. Wow. Look at the governor talking about finding sophisticated bombs and we'll be able to deconstruct them and figure out who made them. Wow. Didn't know that. Now the question is, once you know it, what do you do with it? Because you'll lay in bed all night and you'll go, oh, man. Looks like I've been lied. Nah. It's just Ledge. You know, he's one of them conspiracy theorists. He's a truther. Get that shit all the time. All the time. All the time. The moment they label me or go something called ad hominem. Yeah, I don't know if you know what ad hominem means, but the definition of ad hominem is you attack the opponent and their character or their personal traits instead of actually engaging in their argument. That's ad hominem. I get that shit all the time. You're liberal, tinfoil wearing, blah, blah, blippity, blam, blah, blah, blah. The moment the names come out, I'm like, yep, you lost. And it's not a contest. It's just, oh, really? You want to step up? Let's step up. Let's talk about the ninth grade laws of physics. So it really does come down to us. I love that opening piece. And as I was playing it, because I had heard it once and I saved it and I played it again. And then as he was playing tonight, I was like, man, this is so truthful because it really is up to us. It really is. When I say us, I mean the world, the entire world. There are people living in the middle of the African desert that don't even know what the internet is. They don't know 9/11 from 5/11. It's a pretty big planet. Not everyone's all plugged in. But the ones that are going to have a direct effect on how this all plays out. And that's what's happening. That is the beauty of new media. That is what it's all about, man. It's awesome. Can you tell there's a hockey game going on to my right? Jesus, already halfway through the first period, no score. And I'm like, dude, do your monologue. And I'm like, man, clear the puck, clear the puck, clear the puck. Okay, hang on a second. Okay. So, yeah, I go back and listen to that open piece again. I'm sorry, the opening piece. It is so well written. And it really does talk about the changes that are taking place on our planet. Some are driven by profit. Some are driven by greed. I mean, every time someone comes out with a better transistor or a better processor for a computer, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. That's driven by some company wanting to sell you a chunk of their shit. If it makes the world a better place, good. That's good. I like that. It's not like every single thing that needs to be done on this planet needs to be done for some spiritually uplifting and conscious raising reason. We are simply on our path, but we are now conscious of not only we're now conscious of what's going on. I can type anything into the world on my Google, and guess what'll happen? I will find out what's going on. So that makes me responsible. That makes me part of the answer. Pick something you're passionate about. Learn it well. Fracking or GMOs or solar energy. It doesn't matter. You know, Nestle just negotiated with a town in Maine to take over their water supply. Boom. Did you know that? Did you know that a giant corporation now owns the wells in an entire town because politicians gave them the right to do that? And the only reason I know that is something called the internet. That would always, and I want to get to the mysterious deaths, and I want to get to a couple of the stories here, but if it wasn't for what is going on in new media, even though we're kind of at a crossroads, now, by the way, the Trump-Hillary thing, that's just dog and pony show. That's like wrestling. Okay, people pulling in the real chains, like she said, at the top of the food chain, oligarchs, bankers, stuff like that. But the responsibility lies with me. And the responsibility is that man's full of shit and so is she. And the reason they are is because they both work and profit and do very well from the status quo. So why would they want to change the status quo? Hillary Clinton's in it for herself. Donald Trump's in it for himself. Bernie Sanders, he's still part of the system. He's stepping outside of the matrix. Jill Stein, Gary Johnson. The reason I know those names, the internet. The reason I can actually watch Jill's debate. Imagine that. The Green Party had a debate. You know, people running for president of the Green Party in our country. It had to be on Russia television, Russia Today. How fucked up is that? Gary Johnson and Austin Peterson and John McAfee. Let me see. That was John Stossel and Penn Teller, I think, were the two guys. It was pretty good debates. Libertarians creaming in their pants. Holy shit. Well, you know what? Didn't make it on. They don't get the same stage. It's like Ozfest. You know, Ozzy and Metallica are on one stage, and then you're like this side band over here, you know, when they go off and you kind of play for 45 minutes and people can hardly hear you because you're on this little circus stage on the side. Well, that's where we're at, but at least those conversations are inside the concert. And the only reason I know that, again, is the internet. And the only reason I knew that Jill Stein had even had a debate was because Russia Today, a cable station, broadcast it. So things are getting better. But it's not about, oh, I'm going to vote for this person. They're going to change my life. Fuck that. That's bullshit. It's bullshit. You change your life. And you change your life by becoming empowered. And that's where knowledge fits in. Solar energy market is changing so quickly that even so-called high tech from 2 years ago is now outdated. It's kind of like the computer industry. The cost per watt has dropped dramatically. Coal is done. Big oil's next. Natural gas would be the last one to go. Because they burn clean in that order. Coal's worst. Oil's second worst. Natural gas, third worst. The world is changing at an accelerated pace, and thank God it is. But it is also the first time in the history of our species that it is. It can be overwhelming. The information is spreading so quickly, and it is literally at a you can be sitting with a hotspot in the middle of a desert near a cell tower, and you can have access to the information anywhere in the world. That. I think it's A, amazing, B, but it comes with responsibility. With great power comes responsibility, and knowledge is power, and we're getting there. And it's a good thing. That's why I'm an optimist. Because, yeah, I know it's, you know, the NDAA is going on, and Obama's droning people, and, you know, there's a lot of broadcasts out there that are talking about a lot of things that are going bad. And you know what? True. I'm not going to say it's not. What I am going to say is, I am learning about it the next day. It doesn't take me 50 years to find out after the fact that Kennedy was off by the CIA. I now know already that Oklahoma City was bullshit. I now know already that 7-7 in London was bullshit. I now know that 9-11 was bullshit. And I have to wait 40 fucking years to find out about it. Because they can't control the flow of information. They want to. And they're monitoring it. That's what the NSA issue is about. They want to know what you're thinking. So now they're plugged into all this. You know, they're like, every time someone clicks on that Facebook page about the Awareness Act, we'll blah, 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 blah. So they now know what we're looking into. And that's, don't you realize how powerful people, how paranoid they are, and how nervous they get when people start to find out the truth behind their power, which is, of course, an illusion. But when more people find out, we don't need them, more and more people find that out, they freak out. And what they do is they create those they don't create the wedge issues. The wedge issues there, mostly from, I don't know, decades, a millennia of fear of other races and creeds and colors and all that. And man, they're real good at it. And now they're all about, oh, geez, what are you doing in your own bedroom? I don't give a shit. Who cares? Have fun. Two adults? Consenting? Good. Have a blast. Three adults? Four adults? Yay! There's a party going on. Have a blast. But now they want everybody fearing everybody. And they're working at it. They've escalated the police state. They're hiring people that, you know, becoming a cop used to be a lot tougher. Now they're just taking guys with PTSD straight out of Afghanistan going, yeah, you're a cop. Go beat the shit out of somebody. They're losing. Okay, right now they still have power, but they're losing. They were winning nonstop forever and ever for a very long period of time. And over the last 20 years or so, they've lost their grip on the control and flow of knowledge. And it's going everywhere. And there are podcasts and broadcasts and networks. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's just a matter of time. Because that's how it was meant to be a long time ago. I'm sure that's how that's played out on many planets, in many galaxies, all over our universe, where people or creatures developed and they struggled and they fought against each other. And then they realized that instead of competition, cooperation, and then they found a balance where they could still be individuals, but still work for the betterment of themselves. You know, it's in movies like Transformers. It is inevitable. And that's what they fear the most. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. I got to tell you, the whistleblower, you know, I used to think whistleblower. What's a whistleblower? Well, a whistleblower is like Philip Marshall. He's a former airline pilot. He admitted to having once with the CIA smuggling drugs. And one of the most prominent voices in the area of 9/11. Philip Marshall's work included False Flag 9/11, How Bush, Cheney, and the Saudis Created the Post-9/11 World, and The Big Bamboozle, 9/11, and the War on Terror. He also, a long time ago, tied the Saudis, not Al-Qaeda, to helping orchestrate 9/11. Marshall was found dead in 2013 in his home, along with two of his kids and their dog, all of whom died from gunshot wounds to the head. The official verdict was a murder-suicide. But what officials call a murder-suicide, others call black ops hit. Along those calling it an assassination was Wayne Madsen. I don't always agree with everything that any of these people, if you hear a voice and you go, oh, Wayne Madsen said this. Oh yeah, but Wayne Madsen might believe in space beams. Okay, I'm not saying he does. He doesn't. But what I'm saying is don't take these people as gospel. Go look at what they're talking about. Make up your own mind. Marshall's dead, of course. Whistleblower. You know, it wasn't that long ago. I think it was about 3-4 months ago that several news reports admitted, you got to remember, your new high-tech car is pretty much a computer connected to an engine. Talks to itself and does all these things. It's a computer. It is a computer. And it's operating everything from your air conditioning to the amount of fuel flowing to the air mixture. It's a computer running a vehicle. Well, it's hackable. If you have a computer, it's hackable. Well, guess what? About 6 months ago, they proved you can actually hack the new computers in cars. There's a video all over YouTube. Two guys sitting in a room actually hack a car driving down the road. You know, it's a test track and everything, and you know, the guy's in the passenger seat, or I'm sorry, he thinks he's driving his car, and suddenly, oh, geez, wow, I lost my steering. I'm accelerating. How is this happening? Because they hacked his car, and it's provable. It's provable that you can, with a high-tech vehicle, not some old truck like I have, you can't hack a car that doesn't have a computer in it, but the new ones do. So 33-year-old reporter, and his name was Michael Hastings. Did you ever hear of Michael Hastings? He died in a car accident in L.A. Now, Michael had outed. Let me not get ahead in the story. He was researching about the CIA during his fatal accident. Coincidence? Sure. His final article for BuzzFeed was a piece on the NSA and on the Democrats' excessive surveillance of American citizens. Coincidence, I'm sure. Conspiracy speculation concerning his death had been further fueled by WikiLeaks tweeting claims that merely hours after his fatal accident, Hastings told a WikiLeaks lawyer, hours before, that would have been weird, he told the lawyer that the FBI had been investigating him. Coincidence, I'm sure. The operatives of the wild and terrifying inside story of America's war on Afghanistan. Hastings was outing people. Hastings was doing what media should do. Find the truth about a topic and put it out there. And make sure you got a couple sources. He did. Now, those that were skeptical about the official narrative of Hastings' death point to, among other things, eyewitness accounts stating that Hastings' Mercedes didn't merely crash, but literally exploded, indicating a planted explosive, of course. Look at the pictures of his car. Okay, cars that hit things implode. Everything goes inward. Cars that have something going on, like an explosive, of course, they blow out. Images of the wrecked vehicle appear to show more damage to the rear of the car around the area of the fuel tank. Now, you might have hit it. It might have exploded. Inviting more speculation that a bomb igniting the fuel could have been responsible for the incident. If you don't know who Bill Cooper was, Bill Cooper was like, he wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse a long time ago. This is like early Clinton. No, this is Bush 1, 91, I think. And he talked about everything from the JFK assassination to the covert government, AIDS conspiracies, UFO cover-ups. I'm not big on those. I don't spend my show on those. There's so many other people doing that now that, sorry. I'll believe in aliens when they're like laying on my front. I believe life exists elsewhere in the universe. But are they visiting? And why is it always swamp gas? And why is it always in Alabama? Why don't they just, I don't know, land, I don't know, in Park Avenue? If you're an alien and you're coming to visit? So I don't go there. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying I'll let the other 900 million people out there that are broadcasting alien invasions and probes and crop circles, I'll let them do that. That's not what we do here at DC. I talk about things I can actually see and touch. Bill Cooper literally said about 6 months before 9/11, I think it was, well, not maybe, June, July, August, September, about 4 months before 9/11, he literally said, something of great note to bear in mind. It won't be Osama, this is a quote, it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order on 9/11 itself. Now, remember, he didn't predict 9/11 as the date, but he predicted there would be attack in our country. It would be blamed on Osama. And wars would take place from it. A bunch of cops rolled up onto his front yard, and he, you know, being the old Second Amender, went and got his gun, and they blew him away. He's a dead man. Ever hear of Beverly Eckert? Now, she was a high activist profile type person, better known for the advocates and the creation of the 9/11 Commission. This is a woman who said, you know what? We need to find out what really happened on 9/11. She's a twofer. She's a conspiracy theorist. You know what? She got more balls than all you pussies out there who don't want to look into it. Whether you actually have a set of testicles, she has bigger balls than you. Because you don't want to go it. Oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. Isn't wrestling on, man? Well, like many of the 9/11 victims' family members, she was unconvinced by the conclusions of the official 9/11 Commission report. And that is a five-hour show in itself. Eckert met with Mr. Obama in 2009 at the White House. Now, she's sitting there shaking his hand, and people are recording it. This conversation can actually be heard. You know, it's not like she's like talking privately to the president and everyone doesn't know what she said. She's literally in public asking for him to look into 9/11. Oops. She met with Obama in 2009 at the White House, asking for him to create a second 9/11 investigation. She said to have refused hush money. Now, by the way, let's say you had an uncle, or let's say your dad died 9/11. Government goes, yeah, sorry, we screwed it up. It was a theory of non-imagination. Would you like $10 million? Okay. Well, we're going to give you the $10 million, but you have to sign this little document here, and it says you will never bring up 9/11 ever again. Ever. That's hush money. Now, seeing as I didn't lose anybody that day, and I wasn't in that paradox of having to decide whether I want the truth or the money, I'm not going to judge the people that took the money. But I am going to tell you she didn't. Way to go, Bev. Oh, by the way, she was killed in an airplane crash just 6 days after meeting with Obama. And of course, no investigation ever took place. We know that, right? You know who Gary Webb is? I actually just watched Kill the Messenger about a week ago. It's on cable. Google it if you haven't seen it. I don't know the name of the actor, the guy who shoots the bows and arrows in the Avengers, that guy. Gary was a Pulitzer Prize winning author. Now, he wrote for, I think it was Sacramento newspaper, not like the LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post. But it was secondary, smaller market, but he was a legit guy. And he happened upon some information and just kind of like a dog, you know, smelling something, and you dig a little just under the surface and there it is. He did it. A Pulitzer Prize winning author who exposed the CIA's involvement in the drug trade. Do you remember the crack cocaine epidemic in the 80s? If you don't, you probably smoked a lot of crack, see? So it's kind of, yeah. Anyway. What was that Wesley Snipes movie? New Jack City. Gary Webb connected the dots. He found first he found the distributor. Then he found the transportation to get it here. That was the CIA. And then, of course, he found the actual people in the street selling it. And he told the American people, and it kind of blew up for a little while, because you got to remember when this happened. This was in the 80s. This actually, you know, back then, mainstream media wasn't completely owned by all corporations. There was a lot of mom and pops, newspapers especially, and they were really doing a great job, you know, the mom and pops, of investigative reporting. Not nowadays, good luck. There are some. There's a Facebook one that's blowing up real big. Maybe I'll get a chance to play it for you. But for the most part, no. Dark Alliance was his book. Actually, it was more like mid-80s, late 80s. Because I think he died in the 90s, yeah. About the CIA's involvement in cocaine trafficking in the U.S., he investigated Nicaraguans linked to the CIA who would smuggle cocaine into America. And, of course, that was a crack cocaine epidemic in L.A. and other cities. Gary committed suicide. Now, I don't know how you shoot yourself in the head twice. But Gary managed to do that. In the back of the head. I'm sorry. To the face. I'm sorry. It wasn't the back of the head. It was his face. When you kill yourself and you shoot yourself twice in the face, I don't know, maybe you got a quick trigger finger. You know, maybe the first one that just completely took out your brain. Maybe it's just the second one was kind of a flinch, you know, where your brain just spasms and then you pull your trigger again but how do you control your hand and your arm and aim, and how do you know where it's going? And well, anyway, Gary put two bullets in his face. And then, of course, later on, the report was changed to a, quote, single gunshot wound when people started to ask questions about it. They made a movie about this. Son of a bitch. Oh, there's a long list. You know who Deborah Palfrey is? Mayflower Madam? Basically, she ran the bordellos in Washington, D.C., the real high-end hookers. You know, the girls that get $1,000, $2,000 a night. And she's got that little book. Little black book. She's, you know, phone numbers. You got to remember, this was a while ago. This isn't like everything's on my cell phone now. This was when you might actually write stuff down in a book. Well, by the way, if I'm hooking up Congress with hookers, you know I'm keeping track. And she did. And she did keep track. And she was dumb enough to do two things. One, talk about it out loud after she got arrested that she had the book and that she was actually going to name names. You know, you don't say you're going to name names. You just do it. That's how you do it. Because if you sit around and hold a book and go, I'm going to, one of these days, I'm going to, yep. Deborah hung herself. Not only did Deborah hang herself, she hung herself about 3 weeks, I think it was Alex Jones' show. She got on there and he interviewed her and he said, will you ever commit suicide? And she was like, no, I love life too much. I would never take my own life, ever. She sounded good in spirits. And 3 weeks later, not just like about 2 hours north of me, her, I think it was a grandmother or aunt, found her hanging in a shed. Is this to scare whistleblowers when you talk about this? Or is it to show you this is how they keep people quiet? If I'm like Keanu Reeves and I have invented nuclear fission, not fusion, but fission, nice clean energy, what do? I put it on the internet. I don't say, I'm going to put it on the internet. I put it on the fucking internet. I don't wait. I don't try to get any money. I don't try to do any interviews. I spread that information so suddenly it's not about me, and then good luck trying to stop it. But these people weren't like that. Now, it's kind of funny because I have a lot of drops that I've played over the years on DC. As a matter of fact, let me demonstrate here. I like all media. I really do. I like both sides of an argument. It doesn't mean I agree with one side or the other. You know I am. But you know what? You gotta love Andrew Breitbart. I mean, this guy. Yeah, can you tell I'm stalling? Good. This guy comes out during Obama's second run and says, you know, we're gonna vet him. Or, man, I'm trying to find the audio. Where'd it go? My Mr. Breitbart. I'm looking. By the way, 0-0. I can't believe I'm watching the game with one eye and trying to do the show with the other one. But so far, so good. So it's not too out of control. DC drops. Come on now. Seriously, folks. All right, I'll find it. Let me just get back to the story. Breitbart says he's going to out Obama. I've got videos of him in communist meetings in college, and we're going to vet him. Guy drops dead of a heart attack. The very next day that he says this. Now, certainly a conservative offer. He was a publisher, a commentator, various news programs. You know, I'm not saying that the right or the left deserves a voice more than anybody else. I just don't pay attention to the fear mongers as much because they have a tendency to puff up their chests and half of them are like closet gays. And, you know, they're like, you know, the reason the country's bad, you know, those people, they make me laugh. Well, Breitbart made me laugh. But I'm not saying the man didn't deserve a voice. Yeah, the Breitbart News Network. This guy was doing okay. You know, he was a, I guess you could say, a Gal McKee figure in Arianna Huffington's Huffington Post. He was part of the launch of that. So good for him. Good for being loud and proud, even though he was, I don't know, just a little too clichéist. He wasn't popular with liberals, of course. And he had a tendency to provoke people. In 2012, caused a bit of a storm during the Occupy movement. He called them filthy, filthy, raping, murdering freaks. That's the audio I'm trying to find. I'll get to it. But anyway, you know, he's standing there and he's at a political, I want to say, I don't know if it was a meeting of delegates. I think it was a delegate meeting. And he said it was going to vet Obama. You know, we've got it. You know, we've got damning video footage that could potentially destroy Barack Obama's reelection. He claimed to have access to a college video of Obama that would utterly wreck his presidency. And suddenly he died after collapsing on the pavement near L.A. Boom. So if there was a video, I don't know. And again, don't say you're going to do something. Do it. Just do it. They can't, they don't, well, wait a minute now. What if the NSA is listening? And they already know that you're sitting in a room with two of your friends going, yeah, I'm going to play that video tomorrow on TV. So now the NSA knows you're going to play it. So don't even, look what I got. I'm going to make 8 copies. I'm going to send them to 7 different people. And I'm going to take one for myself. And I'm going to send this one to CNN. I'm going to send this one, blah, blah, blah. Okay? That's how you do it. Don't make it about you. Well, and again, he's dead. Jim Garrow, he was a friend of Breitbart's, founder of the charitable organization, the Bethune Institute. He claimed that Obama himself had ordered the hit and that he killed both Breitbart and Tom Clancy. Don't know about Tom Clancy. Now, I've read a few of his books, seen many of his movies, so I can't say he did. I can't say he didn't. Now, that is just the tip of the iceberg. I was like, what did I do, about 10 there, 9, 10 people? Let's see how many are mentioned in this video right here. Let's see what we got. If there are repeats, I'll fast forward. In other words, if they talk about the ones I just have, then we'll blow by them.
Story centers on incredible allegations of spying on a scale never before imagined. It involves America's Central Intelligence Agency selling computer programs to foreign nations. These programs allegedly allowed the CIA to spy on the intelligence agencies that bought it.
Dr. David Graham. Dr. David Graham was a dentist and a 9/11 researcher after meeting two of the hijackers a year before the attack. Graham reported the hijackers to the FBI, but federal authorities never detained them, and Graham even received a threat from the federal agents.
Yeah, actually, he was kind of like Bill Cooper. Graham was one of the whistleblowers before 9/11 took place. In other words, if you're going to pull a false flag, you need Patsy. You need a Patsy or Patsies. Timothy McVeigh was a Patsy. Lee Harvey Oswald was a Patsy. But in the case of 9/11, you've got 19 patsies. And this guy met two of these patsies and literally contacted the government ahead of time. Got some strange characters. What are you guys going to do about it?
In 2006, he was poisoned with antifreeze, and his death was never investigated. Ron Rummel. Ron Rummel was an ex-Air Force intelligence agent and publisher of the book Alien Digest. He died on August 6, 1993, after allegedly shooting himself in the mouth with a pistol. Friends say, however, that no blood was found on the pistol barrel, and the handle on the weapon was free of fingerprints. In addition, his suicide note was written by a left-handed person, even though Rummel was right-handed. The book Alien Digest ran to only 7 limited issues and is now almost impossible to obtain. Phil Schneider. Phil Schneider claimed to be an ex-government structural engineer who was involved in building underground bases around the country.
Can you tell that this was taken off of VHS? Yeah, me too.
2 years prior to his death, Schneider gave lectures about government cover-ups, black budgets, and UFOs. He even explained that the federal government developed a treaty with the extraterrestrials called the 1954 Griotta Treaty.
Don't know about this stuff. It's not my expertise. I don't talk aliens on the show. You gotta go elsewhere to follow that story.
Philip's body was found in his home from an apparent suicide. His wife believes he was murdered because of his knowledge of government involvement with aliens and his public lectures. Karen Kubsinet. Karen Kubsinet was an American stage, film, and television actress in the 1960s. On November 22, 1967, just 20 minutes before the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Kubsinet called from California claiming that Kennedy was going to be shot. Kubsinet was allegedly told about the assassination by her father, who was told by Jack Ruby, a nightclub operator in Texas and a major figure in organized crime. Some believe that Kubsinet's death was to silence her and her family, though her father, Irv Kubsinet, denied his daughter of having prior knowledge to Kennedy's assassination. Dar Hammarskjöld. Dar Hammarskjöld was a UN Secretary General from 1953 to 1961. He had learned about the fighting between two UN non-combatant forces, so he took a plane to Congo to negotiate a ceasefire to end it. This would prove to be dangerous to several nations, including the United States. While traveling, his plane crashed down before he could negotiate the ceasefire.
You know, those darn plane crashes. Now, another guy here in America, who's a senator. Right after 9/11, his plane crashed and he died. Never to talk about 9/11, that's for sure.
The only survivor claimed that the plane was shot down before it crashed. Eugene Izzy. Eugene Izzy was an American crime writer who was found hanged by a noose outside his office window in 1996. The police ruled it as a suicide, but many aspects surrounding his death don't add up. For example, Izzy was found wearing a bulletproof vest at the scene of his death. He was also found having a loaded gun, brass knuckles, mace spray, notes, and computer disks containing his upcoming novel in his pockets. The notes revealed that Izzy had been receiving threatening phone calls from an Indiana white supremacist paramilitary group he'd planned to expose.
I think if you're going to start messing with the little groups, they've got nothing to lose. And they're, you know, serious. Think about that. They've got nothing to lose. And by the way, if you want to expose some Klan members in a state, and, you know, good for you. I get that. If you want to say, well, these are the crack dealers, but wouldn't you be better off saying, well, these crack dealers got their crack from here. It was grown and processed here and transported by this. Tell the bigger and larger story, and you'll have a tendency to, I don't know, you'll avoid just the drive-by. Before we go to break here, I want to talk about one more. There's many on this. Maybe we'll come back to this, but his name was Danny Juenko. And he's from the Netherlands, and he was, of course, an expert on controlled demolition, as in having done it for 25 years of his life. This is a man that knows how you wire a building. He knows the steel structure. He knows how concrete and rebar react. He knows compression ratios and speed per second of explosives. He knows how steel would react to heat or pressure. This man brought down buildings for a living. He's an expert. Well, in 9/11, as we now know, Tower 1 hit by a plane. Tower 2 hit by a plane about 20 minutes later. Tower 2 is on fire, sort of. Lots of black smoke pouring out of it. And if you know your ninth grade science, you know that black smoke indicates class. What does black smoke indicate? Okay, white smoke indicates, black smoke indicates, what does it indicate? It indicates that a fire is oxygen starved. Thank you very much, class. 45 minutes later, an oxygen-starved fire somehow brings down a 110-story building too. Into itself, into its own strength. As it falls down into thicker and meatier and stronger parts of itself, because we, as we all know, the bigger a building, the stronger the base needs to be. Oops! About 45 minutes later, Tower 1 falls down the exact same way. It doesn't take the path of least resistance into the air. It's falling sideways like a tree. It telescopes right down into 80,000 tons of structured steel. Perfectly healthy. We know that, right? Everybody knows that. But nobody knows about Building 7. Danny Juenko, a controlled demolition expert, the whole world saw 9/11 happen, and suddenly someone walks up to him and shows him the Building 7 video. And they said, we need your professional opinion on what is this. And they play it for him. And he says, speaking his own language, he goes, that is controlled demolition. And they say, are you sure? And he says, yes, I'm sure. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Well, that also happened on 9/11 in New York City. Wait a minute. That building also fell? This is a controlled demolition expert. No, it can't be. Yes. No, it can't be. Yes. He looks at it again. He takes about 20 seconds, and he goes, well, they must have worked quickly. In other words, wiring the building to implode. He died in a one-car accident. I'm not saying that people don't die in one-car accidents. I'm just saying he's dead. By the way, Barry Jennings, very large black man who was actually in Building 7 during 9/11 and survived to talk about it, rescued by fire workers, actually talks about explosions going off inside Building 7. Interviewed several times, talks about having to step over dead bodies, parts of the stairwell collapsing because of the explosions. Somehow makes it out and lives. He's dead. Mysterious death, quote unquote. Did you know that there were explosions in the basement of World Trade Center 1? And that one guy actually rescued another person who'd been, this is five floors below the surface, whose skin had been blown off by an explosion. Guy drags him to the surface, takes him to the EMTs and saves his life. That guy died a mysterious death. Anybody who publicly was there, except Willie Rodriguez, of course, who's still alive and kicking. Isn't that ironic that President Bush gave Willie Rodriguez a Medal of Honor because he ran up the stairwell with a key, master key, and unlocked several doors and saved, who knows, countless lives, and he was the last man out of the building, and he made it, and he won a reward. He didn't win a reward, but he was awarded a Medal of Valor by George Bush Jr. And, oh, yeah, by the way, everything Willie had to say never made it into the 9/11 Commission report. Willie's still alive, though. Good for him. A lot of people are the Edward Snowdens of the world. The Bradley Mannings, Chelsea Mannings. Someone who just takes a video of a helicopter just mowing innocent civilians down in a war zone, puts it out there, and now he's behind bars for who knows how long. Whistleblowers don't do well. That's why we don't... The whole point I want to make tonight is don't let them be alone. If you have 50 whistleblowers, they can't kill 50. Learn. Spread the knowledge. But learn it. Don't spread the fear. Don't spread the Islamophobia. Don't spread any of that. Learn. Then talk about it. Then engage others. The more whistleblowers, you know, what we need, and that's what that opening piece is about, is the world needs to be the whistleblower. The world, she said, 7 billion people strong. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, but that is our potential. Eventually, they won't be able to control you. They won't be able to control the message. They won't be able to, and you know, false flag terrorist events like 7/7, the London bombing, which is unbelievably laced with shit. They won't be able to do it anymore. They're doing it because they're desperate. They're doing it because they need to create fear. They're doing it because they need to create that divide and conquer. Don't let you know, some lone newspaper reporter be the Gary Webb guy. Take that article, run with it, share it, learn it. And that's the best part of what's happening. There's a video, I think it's Mass Report, as in MassReport. Let me scroll down to it. I have it on my Facebook page. And we might play. Or should we just play Ultimate Warrior Macho Man? Just scroll by that video. I'm coming down to it. We're going to break here in a second. And I'll have that queued up because I want to play that when we get back. And show you that even a small, little, podunked NBC one reporter, investigative reporter, can blow the lid off of corruption, and then it goes viral. And that's how you create change. It's a beautiful, awesome thing. Should we have Andrew Breitbart take... I found his audio, by the way. Want to hear Andrew Breitbart? This is why I don't like him. I don't mind conservatives. Just, you know, keep your head and have a decent conversation and don't label people and you know, don't be small-minded. Actually, you know, give a crap. Give a crap. Check out, this is during the Occupy movement. Check out Breitbart.
Stop raping people! Stop raping people! Stop raping! Stop raping people! Stop raping the people!
That's not a loop. That's him yelling at protesters.
Freaks! You filthy freaks! You filthy, 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 raping, murdering freaks!
Filthy, raping, murdering freaks. Maybe he did have a heart attack. The boy was a little stressed out. I guess you could say the point I'm trying to make here is just like that opening piece. The more people are willing, you got to win your own personal battle first. You got to go, you know what? I think I want to watch Scarface for the 700th time. I want to watch this documentary on Building 7. Or I want to watch, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with you going there? What are you so fucking scared of? Well, my friends will label me and my dad will call me a crazy person at Thanksgiving. Well, guess what? Goes with the territory. That's what happened. That's what they called having a backbone. Come on, Andrew.
Andrew Breitbart was also at CPAC. And what I love is that Occupy protesters decided to go do a little protesting at the event. And Andrew Breitbart confronts them in this next video. Let's watch.
Yeah, that was a CPAC. That's what it was. His speech was at CPAC. That's right.
Behave yourself. Behave yourself.
The cops are
Behave yourself. That's all I can take. Now I'm starting to think maybe he has some blood pressure issues. Who knows? I'll tell you what, we'll do a little Carlin's Corner on the way back. What are we feeling playing? You know what I'm going to play? I want to play some Chuck D and a song called Fight the Power. And the reason I want to play it is because if you haven't heard, it tastes pretty good. Hang on a sec. I kid you not. Man, I burned a little on the way down. If you haven't heard, there is a real good chance at this point that we might actually see Rage Against the Machine announce a world tour, at least a couple of dates here in the U.S., along with Public Enemy and Chuck D. How cool is that? That's a road trip for me, I'll tell you that. Andrew, are you going to take us to break?
Behave yourself! You are freaks and animals! You're freaks and animals! Behave yourself!
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Sex and drugs and women being set on fire!
I am a grandmaster dialectician.
You know, you guys, you're supposed to be so good at listening, you can't even remember what I said to you 2 seconds ago.
Scott Ledger.
Dangerous conversation.
This song don't give a damn. If the rhymes don't fit, the DJ quit. This song don't give a damn. You can't sing or dance to it, can't romance to it. This song ain't arrogant. If you don't try and buy it, or if your radio denies it, don't care about what, who got, what's cool on TV, or what spots hot, I forgot. I ain't mad at evolution, but I stand for revolution. Get up, enough is enough. Hey, somebody stand up. Come on, get up, stand up.
Your private airplane. How many blood diamonds shining in that chain? How much compromise is tied to that fame? How many more times we gotta hear that lame line? I'm inspiring them to do what? Grow better weed and get higher than them. Feed the needy, greedy ass buyer in them. Be the same damn dog with the finer women. They gon' tell me that I'm preaching to the choir in them. Showed it right, but I'm trying to light a fire in them. Cause I was raised by the enemy. And ever since then, that's been my identity. So I'm trying to give back what was given me. Truth flow, delivery is my tendency. You flow the spirit up in my energy. Bottom of my feet is something that you'll never see. That's cause I'm standing, singing the anthem. Fist on my hand and my list of demands. When they hear this, might piss in their pants. Try to get the children not to listen to the man. But the mighty P.E. is what birthed I live. So what you think gon' come after me?
Most of my heroes still don't appear on no stamp, so I rant, even when they see I can. I rise against, rage against, hope I don't end up being the same thing I'm fighting against. Hence, I went, I'm never on the fence, since they think the masses are powerless. I ain't on nobody's powerless. I ball my fist with my audience, like this. I raise my fist with my audience, yeah, like this. Get up! Stand up! Is getting now. Recession, depression, desperation too. Never have so many been screwed by so few. Cheapest prices to pay attention. No need to dumb down to what I mentioned. No need to yell down to how I mentioned. It's bad as Portuguese, English, French, and no satisfaction. Hey! Listen to the world's reaction. Get up! Stand up!
Nighttime out on the ledge.
So let's have a little bit of this. I get the big Bob Marley joint. Look at this. Here, try this.
Ledger.
That's what you are. You are the motherfucking Antichrist.
DC, Dangerous Conversation.
I tried every fucking thing I could fucking think of to mold him into a proper kind of DJ.
Ledgy Poo.
That is very well meaning. And that is like a step away from, does this washcloth smell like chloroform to you? What do you think? Doesn't it smell like chloroform? Take you down to Uncle Touchy's naked puzzle basement. Uncle Touchy's naked puzzle basement. You won't wear a shirt and you'll cry. I sent those lyrics to Bob Seger. He has never answered any. He'd be perfect. And rats. My wife saw a rat in our backyard Wednesday, July 2nd of last year. I'm out doing errands, driving around. I get a call. I just saw a rat in the backyard. If you see one, there's 1,000. We're infested. You've got to call an exterminator. And on the phone, I say, yeah, sweetie, don't worry about it. And in my head, I'm thinking, she's full of shit. She saw a squirrel. She's freaking out. Didn't see a rat. But I call every exterminator in the book. They all said the same thing. It's 4th of July weekend. No one's coming out till Monday. No one. Fuck. Next date, Thursday, July 3rd. We have a couple friends over. We're sitting in my tiny concrete backyard. And at the far end of the backyard, there's a telephone line. Goes over the yard. I'm facing the telephone line. My wife and her friends have their back to it. We're talking, we're eating hot dogs, drinking beer. One point I look up, running across the telephone line is a squirrel. I go, sweetie, excuse me, turn around. Isn't that what you saw? She turns around. That's a squirrel. I saw a rat. I know the difference between a rat and a squirrel. Now she's fucking lying. That's what I'm thinking. She realizes she saw a squirrel, doesn't want to get caught in front of her friend, so she's lying, so she looks, and now I have to hire an exterminator to support that lie. I'm pissed off. 30 seconds goes by. I have another bite of hot dog, another sip of beer. 30 seconds goes by. I look back up, running across the telephone line, biggest rat I've ever seen. It looked like Danny DeVito in a rat costume, just like, ah! Hello! So, I'm staring at this thing. Out of the sky comes this huge hawk, comes blazing out of the sky, gets its claws into the rat. The rat makes this otherworldly shriek, this bah! The hawk tries to fly away with the rat. The rat is too big and muscular. The hawk can only get it 2 inches off of the line, drops it into our neighbor's yard, hits the top of their tool shed, blam! Rolls off and hits the ground, splat! And all their kids start screaming. Now, everything that I just told you happened in the space of 60 seconds. That was the timeline. In 60 seconds, this was the sequence of events. Sweetie, is that what you saw? No, that's a squirrel. I saw a rat. She's full of shit. Eek, eek, eek. Swoop. Claw. Lift. Drop. Blam. Splat. Ah! In 60 seconds. The whole... I feel like doing research. Is there a forgotten Sumerian prankster god and his feast day is July 3rd? He's got one worshiper left, and the dude killed a goat over a copper bowl, and it gave the prankster god 40 seconds of power in our realm. He just poofed into being and went, did someone in Burbank just say there's no rats? Well, beans and grapes, what jokes and japes I'll play. I need a telephone line, a hawk, and the biggest rat you've ever seen. Oh, this shall be a naughty caprice. Don't forget to kill the goat next year. Poof! Gone.
Here's Ledge.
Some of you know me as Mikey Gaga. Some of you know me as Joey Boombatz.
He's crazy, he's a fool, but he's not a liar.
This is not a conversation for children.
Look, I don't think you're crazy. I know you're not a terrorist. I know you're just an ordinary guy who's popped his top. But you must connect with those people out there.
Dangerous conversation.
Welcome back to Dangerous Conversation right here at RadioInfluence.com, the home of great shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander.
And on the beach,
with a couple of knuckleheads I've worked with in the past. And some great wrestling shows and awesome MMA coverage and awesome Major League Baseball coverage. I mean, great hosts. We're talking pros here. I don't fuck around here. We ain't fucking around. And, you know, little by little, baby steps, man. The numbers on this show have gone up every single month for six straight months. I'm getting ready to crack a big number for me. And we're even, you know, the guys like Jerry and Jason are working hard. And we, you know, I kind of hinted last week, and I'll hint this week, that this network is starting to get noticed, and it takes a while. And the best part of all of that is eventually monetization. And when you get monetization, you get some money coming in, everybody's doing well, and your content gets better and better and better. It's already good. Wait. Takes a while. Takes a while to build shit. So welcome back to the last half hour, 40 minutes or so of DC. That was Patton Oswalt, of course, on Carlin's Corner. I'm a big fan of Patton. Not a huge fan. It's not like I was there at his first concert. But with his wife dying suddenly, and if you notice, he mentions, if you ever listen to his stuff, he mentions his wife and kid. Well, he mentions his wife a lot. And then he was pregnant, and at the time she was pregnant, so now he has a daughter. She's about seven, and his wife dies. So I just saw him tweet something on Twitter yesterday, and it was typical Patton. So, you know, reach out to him if you haven't already, become a fan. And sometimes on Carlin's Corner, here in Dangerous Conversation, my job isn't to, you know, always be political and, oh yeah, I can't believe you played a comedian who was talking about dick jokes. You don't know me, do you? You're new to the show, or you're old to the show and you expect everything to be fucking crop circles and stuff. That's not me. I've been trying, and, you know, sometimes I hope someday I'll get it right to achieve a good balance in my world where I'm questioning my matrix and enjoying the ride at the same time. I'm getting there. Not there yet, but I'm getting there. So that was Patton Oswalt on Carlin's Corner. Carlin's Corner, if you're new to the show, is, of course, dedicated to George Carlin, one of the most intellectual, intelligent, and unbelievably talented, not just speakers and comedians, but writers. His essays are amazing. So the whole Carlin's Corner bit is about, you know, if it wasn't for Carlin and Hicks and Stanhope and you know, there are many comedians who are trying to question what's going on. Some of them do it on network television and throw softballs all day. But Carlin's Corner is about, sadly, what is one of the last bastions of truth tellers, stand-up comedy. And who doesn't love a good stand-up?
I know I do.
The reason I mentioned, you know, and I want to kind of do a terrestrial report here. Wait a minute. Let me get the right music. Hang on. Where's the right music for terrestrial? There we go. It's time for your terrestrial update. If they don't get their collective heads out of their collective asses, they will become I don't know, Morse code? The Pony Express? They had better get there. Unfortunately, the people calling the shots are at the top of the food chain, and they're all about, wow, I can't piss off Home Depot, because they're connected to the corporatocracy. If that stuff keeps happening and they hit the iceberg at 30 knots, then fuck them. That's just the way it's going to be. And I'm not just talking one company, I'm talking all of them. If they, A, they're finally getting back to being a little bit more localized in their own markets, but I don't hear anybody loosening the reins on topics. All I hear is Kim Kardashian, and believe me, we all need our distractions, but I don't hear any meat at all. I mean fucking meat. Oh, Obama's this, and Trump is that, and Hillary's this. Oh, fluff, fluff, fluff. Can someone actually do a show that talks about topics and, I don't know, maybe solutions to issues? Probably not. But that's okay. That's cool. Because the terrestrial update isn't just about the state of terrestrial radio. It's about my state of terrestrial radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'll let you know that so far, having fun working at Beasley, getting back to just playing some music and making a few bucks and posting. You know what? I'm nailing some posts. It took me a couple of months, but you know, now I'm like walking it right up to bam. Oh, man. You know, like the best part of nailing a post is when you shut the mic off and go, nail that bitch. Ugh. Awesome. Oh, I got 17 seconds. Watch this. Call letters, topic, attitude, me, call letters, singing. 17 seconds, ready, go. And it took me a while to kind of, you know, dust it off. But the reason I say this is because I'm currently working at a hot hit station, classic hits, hot hits, called Q105, 100,000-watt flamethrower here in the Tampa Bay area. And, not but, and in a couple of weeks, you're going to also hear this rocker. Let's put it this way. There'll be no Boy George. There'll be no, I'm sorry, Matthew, who? Matthew Wild?
Nope.
So it's time for the Ledge Report, and then we're going to get to some audio that you probably have never heard before. I have been struggling. No, now. Wrong word. I have been working in my mind the scenario I want the latter third of my career to be. One is free speech.
That's Dangerous Conversation. That's RadioInfluence.com. Another one is Revisit My Past. Okay? That's getting back into music radio. I'm working on it. Things are going well. And the other part is reconnecting locally with the scene. And not just having me in a microphone, but anyone and everyone with a vibe of a broadcast behind me that brings you, and by the way, those shows will be more locally flavored. I mean, you can listen to them. I don't know where they're going to end up. I'm hoping they'll end up here. But the bottom line is getting back out there and being not part of the scene, but reflecting it and giving that scene a voice, giving that band a voice, or giving those fans a voice, that kind of thing. And all those things are taking place. And it's taken me a while to get there. And the show will also go on the road. Man, there's so many things to talk about. But there, you know, about a year ago, I wrote it out on paper. And I said, this is what I want. But you know what? The best part of owning your own brand and doing things yourself is changing your fucking mind. And I've changed my mind about something. I thought doing two live shows a week on DC for DC is what I wanted. Turns out it's not what I want. But I do want two DCs a week. The one you're hearing right now ain't going anywhere. The other one is going to become, and you're kind of getting the news before anybody, a one-on-one. People used to always say, Ledge, I love listening to DC. And okay, let me preface this with, they are complimenting me. And they would say, you are one of the best interviewers I've ever heard. And I've heard that before. I've heard that when I was working in sports radio. I've heard those things before. And it's taken me a while. But I'm very proud of the idea that I can get someone to sit down with me, break down the barriers, get to know them, get to know the topic, visit some controversy, visit some laughter, visit, you know, just hopefully wrap it up in a good bubble. So you're here to know that the second weekly show for Dangerous Conversation will be Dangerous Conversation one-on-one. It won't be live. You don't have to worry about listening to it live because, let's face it, the vast majority of the listeners of this show aren't even listening live now. They're downloading it at a later date. That is the future. But this show is for me. This show is about topics and audio and having fun. And I'll get to the crew in a second. But the second show is going to be, yes, me and an author, me and a documentarian, me and an activist, me and a photographer or a painter. I'm not going to do music interviews on that show. That's another show. I have a dream. I am building my dream. And my dream is balanced, and it has art in it. It has controversy in it. It has community in it. It has fun in it. And yes, the second weekly show for Dangerous Conversation will no longer be live. It will be, as we say in the biz, in the can. It'll only be an hour in length, and it will be DC one-on-one. I'm looking forward to it. I will be bringing back some guests from the past, some regulars, and then we'll be getting to the, Christ, I'm going down my shopping list of need to do this show. Then I got to get this done. Okay, no, don't like that. Got to change that. Now this is going to take place. And yeah, the crew. Part of this show, the Wednesday night show, will occasionally be live. I'm sorry, it's live. Will occasionally be the crew. But it won't be from here in Out on the Ledge Studios. That is, Jesus, man. I don't want to yank you all over the map here, but what I'm trying to let you know is you're going to get some amazing diversity from me and my media empire. That's great. I'm picky. I need things. I just can't sit there and do the same thing for 30 years. So DC, the live show, 8 to 10 every Wednesday. And, of course, available at, at radioinfluence.com. DC one-on-one. Well, I'm going to talk to the guys here at this network about that. And then there will be a live version. There we go again. Mobile. There we go. A mobile version of this show about every 6 weeks. Not any more than that. And then, Jesus, mid-fall, maybe closer to winter, will be Dangerous Bands. DC, the unsigned acts. It'll be music. It'll be a one-hour show. It'll be bands. It'll be micro interviews, about 8 to 10 minutes. So what you're going to get from me is a two-hour, no-holds-barred talk show, 1 hour, one-on-one interview, every 6 weeks, mobile, and believe me, big plans for that. I can't wait. Things are really falling into place for that. As well as the many unbelievably untalented acts across this country with several different formats, you know, rap and rock and maybe some country or whatever. But if you're talented, and especially if you have a voice about the world, I don't care if you're singing about poverty or politics or, you know, okay? This time next year, I will be producing 4 shows a week. And with my foot in terrestrial radio, I told you, I kept telling myself, live the fucking dream, dude. Nobody owns you now. Nobody can tell you what you want to do, what you don't want to do. Nobody can tell you, you can't say, you know what? You can't. I'm going to ignore the fact Pittsburgh just scored right now and stay focused. I'm one guy in I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of media people in this country that is highly motivated to prove all those assholes wrong. And it's happening. But you know the thing I learned the most? Don't rush it. Okay? Don't do 3 projects half-assed. Get one going. Be satisfied with it. Get another one launched. Go for it. And that's what I'm doing. And you would not believe the response. I'm sharing this with people that will be part of it. And they're like, man, you really have it down. You know what people are craving. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a fucking media guy. You don't think I hear people bitch and moan and go, play the same 300 songs over and over and over again. Okay, here's an unsigned band show. And it's coming. Oh, yeah, by the way, you want to know what an outspoken artist, or I'm sorry, author or documentarian has to say about a topic? I'm going to sit down with them one-on-one or Skype them one-on-one. And I guarantee you, I fucking guarantee you, I will have them relaxed, laughing, opening up, serious, and emotional. I will milk them because that's what I do. It's a little frustrating for me to drive my truck around town with my dog and on my way to my favorite fishing hole. And if I turn on the radio and I hear the same crap, or I hear rookies 24 years old, or I hear the same 8 topics repeated by the same 7 shows for the same 4 hours in a row, I have to admit, it pisses me off. But it also lights my fire every day. It motivates me. It goes, you know what? You're not done. You know how many times I've said that on this show? You're not done. I've said that to a few people in this network. You're not done. Don't let them tell you you're done. You have way too much to bring. And that's what Dangerous Conversations hasn't been hibernating. Because I know it started off on Io, and it had the Bubba support and the Shannon show, and it had all those things wrapped around it. And it, you know, I was able to bring a crew into a studio that I didn't have to worry about. I had a producer. You know what? All of that ended, and it landed on me, and I said, all right, it's hibernating. And then I brought that plan to my head. You know, I'm a big fan of the three levels of creation. Think it, say it, do it. Think it, say it, do it. Think it, say it, do it. Those are the three levels of creation. And that's where I am now. I'm not done. And not only that, I have an amazing woman in my life. I have unbelievable supportive listeners and fans and friends. And you know what? I'm not done. So here we are in the spring, late spring, early summer of 2016. This time next year, this crazy little guy right here is going to be producing quite a few radio programs a week. Because you know why? Because no one's doing it. It's not like I'm a genius. I'm not some guy sitting back and going, oh, wow. Oh, my God, I've discovered. No, I am a person going, they're not doing that. They're dropping the ball over here. These people are coasting, and they're lazy. And they're underfunded. And by the way, underfunded, that goes for everybody. I'm not laying blame. I'm just saying this is how it works. Everybody's got to protect a career and a paycheck and a mortgage and college tuition and braces. I get it. But guess what? I don't. And I said it earlier in the show. When I die, I'm going to release the emails and instant messages I've gotten from not just local media people, but people that do what I do for a living who happened upon me and went, dude, thanks. Literally, there's no way this show could exist on terrestrial radio. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? You want to know? You want some proof of that? Here's some proof. All right, let's do some proof. Let's go. Let's try this one. Okay. People always say, you know, If 9/11 were a lie or some type of inside job, don't you think people would speak out? Yeah, they do. FBI, Colleen Riley, Sabelle Edmonds. I mean, these are people on Time Magazine. They've spoken out. They've just been shown the fucking door. Well, here's cops. Everybody respects cops, right? Cops from New York City.
Matt has made the short journey from Ground Zero to meet two former emergency workers who were on duty on 9/11. Far from extreme, it's common sense and not a little patriotism that gives them the courage to speak out.
I achieved the American dream only to wake up to the American nightmare. It was a tough situation for us all.
You gonna hear this shit on terrestrial radio? Something to think about.
Matt has made the short journey from Ground Zero to meet two former emergency workers who were on duty on 9/11. Far from extreme, it's common sense and not a little patriotism that gives them the courage to speak out.
I achieved the American dream only to wake up to the American nightmare. It was a tough situation for us all. We lost 343 guys on that day.
I retired with 32 years total. You know, they added up part of my military time and my police time. There's no way in the history of history that a steel frame building of that magnitude has ever come down from a few pockets of fire. I knew instinctively, I was suspicious. It just came down. And there's no question that that was a, you know, demolition job. But anybody with an open mind and common sense cannot deny. The fire department mentality is such that it's patriotic. It's pro-government. It's pro-normalcy. And especially when we were doing the funerals. I did seven and I couldn't do any more.
Over 300 cops died. I'm sorry, fire department people died. This is an actual, yeah, guy who was there, who wanted to say something, but the system does not allow him to say that. His pension, his life, his wife, his mortgage. This is what he's trying to tell you.
When people have died and they don't want to hear that, that's the last thing. And especially unpatriotic. That's not something you talk about. So, no, I didn't even bring it up. But they're just not ready for it. If you're really patriotic and you really care about what happened to our brothers and what is happening to our country, start doing your own research. We have a web where you can start to research and cross-reference things, and there are materials that you can read, and, you know, there are sources you can go to, and you can put together your own incontrovertible facts that, you know, point you in the right direction. And, you know, don't rely on the media. The media is not there for you. It's there to manipulate you.
I'm not a cop. I'm not a fireman from New York City. I wasn't there that day. But yes, there are whistleblowers everywhere. Oh, he's a truther. He's a conspiracy theorist. Fuck you. You don't have the balls to go and talk to that man face to face, do you? It's much easier to label the crazy radio guy. And that's where people will get called out. That is their fork in the road. So, like I said earlier, the moment they start labeling me, or if you're one of me, the moment they start labeling you, and you can refer them to audio or people, or, I don't know, 2,600 now architects and engineers who are questioning 9/11, 2,600. I remember when it had 200. That group's growing. You know why? Strength in numbers. Didn't I say that earlier? One whistleblower's bullshit. Strength in numbers.
I am a retired Jersey City police officer who served 23 and a half years for the Jersey City Police Department. Jersey City is directly across the Hudson River from World Trade Center. There's no way. You don't need to be an expert to see that. That building was brought down on purpose, with purpose. And if they had said, oh, we're going to take it down on purpose and we're going to plant certain explosives to bring it down, it wouldn't happen in 3 hours or 6 hours. It would be 3 days or 4 days of preparation to make that happen. And I don't see that happening there. And that's just a legitimate question. Anybody with the brain could think that.
Are you aware, or do you have other fellow officers that are aware that the official story just, it doesn't sound true?
Yes, many police officers who think about it say, well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Listen to what she says here. And this is what I say all the time. The toughest journey is taking the leap out of your comfort zone. Now, I don't have six kids and a mortgage and some house in Long Island. You know what? If I'm like, honey, I'm a fireman. I saw what happened. Explosions were going off. And she goes, honey, if you say something, you could lose your job and lose your pension. And I'll lose my maternity. Okay? Who am I to tell that person what to do? I don't ever want... That's his leap. The one I took got me booted out of Clear Channel. It was a game changer in my life. It was... But it was also
as you know me as a host, where my spiritual journey intersected. I didn't want to stand there after I cross over in that light and have that light go, "You had a chance to say something. Why didn't you?" Well, guess what? Mr. Light, I did. I did. It cost me. Because I'll say it, and I've heard it from two other people in, I'm not outing anybody, I don't want to get anybody fired, but I have heard from two other people that I know that I asked, "Am I blackballed in that country, in that company?" And they said, "Yep, you are." Which is kind of a pat on the back because they fear me. Not they, as in a specific company fears me. They fear someone with my abilities and my intellect. And I'm patting myself on the back. Okay. My backbone actually taking one of their transmitters and actually spitting the truth to people? Are you kidding me? Not on their watch. But when you know what? I go to bed at night and I wake up. I talk to my daughter, and I talk to people, and they go, "You know what? Good for you, dude. Good for you. Take your leap." I did it last week. I said, I hope that last week's show was part inspirational and motivational. I am going to continually press you, my listeners, to take something you're passionate about, learn about it, and press that issue. I don't care what it is. But become passionate about something and don't be afraid. Who cares what people think about you? Who cares what people say about you? Fuck them. They're weak-minded. The moment they make it about you and not the topic, you win. You win. Now listen to what she says about the cops she's worked with and the situation they've got to deal with.
But there was one in particular on my job, and basically they gave him a psych evaluation, which they see if he's able to carry a gun. Now, that's your livelihood.
So after he started asking questions?
Yeah, well, you know, he was putting things online, saying, "Well, what about this or what about that?" And basically they will threaten your livelihood. And if you have children or you want to keep your job, or retire from a pretty good job. If you keep everybody busy, you know, with the wrong reasons, they can't find the right reasons. And there was quite a lot of money being spread around, not to investigate, but almost to take their minds off investigations. We're going to have terrorist training. We're going to have new radio systems to communicate better. There was so much money being thrown around that the investigations were virtually stifled.
You feeling me on that? That's what they do, man. Can't shut them up, throw money at it. We're going to leave, you know, man, it's already 3 after, and I told Jerry no more than a 1/4 after. So, you know what? Let's bring it full circle, because this audio is from a Georgia television station looking into political corruption and how corporations affect, control politics. And here's what I'm going to do. This is self-explanatory. And you will hear, you won't see, but you will hear how bad it's become. Now, picture what you're going to hear in your town or your city or your province and realize that the only way things are going to change is when you expose the corrupt people. You expose the corruption. You expose a lie. Or you find the truth and let people know what it is.
It sounds cheesy, doesn't it? The pen is mightier than the sword. Nothing could be more truthful. It's awesome. Because knowledge is consciousness, and consciousness is power. There's nothing more powerful than consciousness. It's awesome. I stand in awe of it. I stand in awe of what I am and what I'm part of. And I'm going to talk to you about that as we close the show. But I'll tell you what, I just want to, it's just a 6-minute piece. I'm going to let it run. And the reason it is because it's self-contained, self-explanatory, and it's really good.
We can't show you what's behind this closed door. A place where legislators and corporate lobbyists have an equal vote. A place they don't want you to see.
You need to be credentialed at registration.
We are credentialed. We are Georgia. We're Georgia Media. Are there legislators in there? Are there legislators in there? We are Georgia credentialed media.
Here. Please step over here.
What? There's Georgia legislators here. Are laws being made in there?
This isn't the state capitol. It's a resort hotel in Savannah where lawmakers are wined and dined as members of the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC.
What is ALEC?
It's really a corporate bill mill. I mean, they're cranking out legislation, putting it in the hands of legislators who go back and file it.
Georgia Senator Nan Orrick would know. She was once an ALEC member.
What happens in these back rooms?
And their votes taken that have the corporate folks at the same table voting with the legislators on what bills to pick. And that at its core just screams out inappropriate.
You're telling me that in these rooms, a corporation has an equal vote with a legislator on a piece of legislation?
They absolutely vote, and the truth be told, they write the bills.
ALEC bills come complete with blanks where legislators need only fill in their state name, like the Asbestos Claims Priorities Act. This Georgia law that now prevents many asbestos victims from suing corporations matches the ALEC bill clause after clause, often word for word. The final vote was taken here at the Georgia Capitol, but the bill was first approved here. Inside a Las Vegas casino at a closed-door ALEC meeting. Records show the three Georgia senators who sponsored the bill received more than $22,000 in ALEC scholarships to attend resort meetings the year before, during, and after the asbestos law was passed.
This is money from corporations to legislators, but it's being filtered through ALEC, and they get a tax write-off?
Well, ALEC is a 501c3 organization, charitable educational purposes.
That's right. ALEC is an educational charity. The signature of Georgia's Speaker of the House, David Ralston, appears on this 2013 ALEC fundraising letter. He writes, "Your support of the scholarship fund is critical, enabling Georgia legislators to attend the annual meetings. Donations are 100% tax deductible and fund education efforts for legislators." Who's doing the educating? Inside that closed-door committee room in Savannah we couldn't show you, we saw the lobbyist for the cell phone industry seated across from Georgia State Rep Ben Harbin right before we were pulled out.
Here we're credentialed to observe legislators here in Georgia, wherever they meet, to discuss laws. He's calling for backup.
ALEC staffers had four off-duty sheriff's deputies standing by while we talked with the group's director of communications.
Can we do an interview with you?
Actually, no.
Why not?
If you please turn the camera on.
No, we can't turn the camera off. We, you know, that's one thing we don't do.
Okay, well then I'd like to have you escorted out of the building, please.
Okay, I'm a guest of this hotel. I'm actually staying here at this hotel.
You are staying at this hotel.
So here's the question is, if Georgia legislators are meeting here, we're credentialed right here to see Georgia legislators making laws. Are they discussing things that could become law here?
Georgia legislators are here participating in discussions where they're learning from legislators from others.
So why can't the people who elected them see the process?
This is a private meeting.
A private meeting paid for by whom?
By our members and donors.
Our lobbyists, correct?
No.
Are you here for this conference, too?
Are you really?
We met two lobbyists and a state representative from New England in the hotel bar the night before and recorded our conversation.
You have to pay your own way?
Well, on a trip like this, absolutely. And that's where you would go, man. On a trip like this, I'm the state chair of ALEC.
Yeah.
And I look for financial support,
right?
Lobbyists, people like, to send us like a couple $1,000 every so often. That gives me money to help those folks with.
Now, on the other hand,
we pay more to be here, so it helps support them.
And you do. You do.
I see. So the lobbyist fees to come to the event actually helps subsidize the legislator coming here.
Are lobbyists, correct?
No.
They're not lobbyists? The ones that we recorded in the bar last night aren't lobbyists who are here members?
He signals to the sheriff's deputies.
All right, I'm a guest of the hotel, sir.
Not for long.
I'm here, okay. But paying guest of this hotel, sir.
We'll take care of that.
Okay. Escort you up to your room and get your things.
Did we violate some law or something? I mean, are we violating a law here? Don't say nothing. One of the Georgia senators who sponsored that asbestos bill, Renee Unterman, told the 11 Alive investigators she later dropped out of ALEC, calling it a group of angry white men controlled by industry, not legislators. Major corporations like Atlanta-based Coca-Cola have also dropped out of ALEC.
Wow, eye-opening to say the least. Do lawmakers have to report payments for travel to these kinds of resort meetings?
You would think, Brenda, but in Georgia, the answer is no. We filed half a dozen open records requests with Georgia legislators, including the Speaker of the House asking for receipts and reimbursements to ALEC events. Well, today, we received this letter from their lawyer. Your request is denied. Quote, the General Assembly is not subject to the Georgia Open Records Law. Huh. In other words, lawmakers specifically exempted themselves from a law they passed to make Georgia government more transparent.
It's a good thing you made it out there. Those armed guards were standing for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wow. This is just baffling.
We'll stay on it.
And we wouldn't know it had it not been for this report.
No.
All right, Brendan, thank you.
Bye. You know, the most important audio in all of that report is we wouldn't know it if it wasn't for that report. That's awesome. Now, this is an NBC affiliate in Georgia. This guy gets paid. But he was a guest at the hotel, and they had the cops escort this guy out for asking questions. This is the United States of America in 2016, folks. Is this what you want? Because that's where we're headed. Now, I don't predict the future. I'm not Nostradamus. And I am a glasses half full guy, and I kind of see the cracks in the foundation of control and power. But the reason I see it is because I'm a media guy and I pay attention to what's filtering through, who's not, who's getting fired, who's getting called out on Twitter. And you know what? Thumbs up. We're headed. I'm not kidding. We are headed in the right direction. But it's not autopilot. It doesn't do itself. What it takes is actual conscious people who are aware of what the hell, or who want to be aware. You know, start by joining the PTA. Okay? Start by, I don't know, learn about cannabis. Learn about GMOs. Learn about what's going on in Fukushima. You know what? Here we go. Watch this. I'm gonna run down the list for you. Let me find one. Oh God, I gotta find one quick. I don't know what HAARP is. Does it exist? Find out. Do you believe in chemtrails? I personally don't. Look into it. Why is B-17 illegal? Who is Henry Kissinger? Ever hear the name Rockefeller? Just get curious. I love a good old sitcom as good as anybody else. You know, I like Breaking Bad. It was cool. It was good. But all that's fucking fiction. Find some reality in your world and explore it. That's all I'm saying. A Dangerous Conversation is found a home. And it's also, like I said, expect show number 2 in a couple of weeks. expect dangerous bands in about 5 to 6 months. I'm not done.
Hey, this is Pants.
And Roller Girl, and we're
On the beach. If you're single and looking for dating advice, well, then you found the wrong podcast.
Yeah, we have no idea what in the hell we're talking about, but we're still not going to give up.
We're not? No, I am. I'm done with this bullshit.
Oh, stop it. Just listen to our show.
On the Beach with Pants and Roller Girl can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.